you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. It's time for What's Toxic and What's Not with our toxicologist every week at this time, Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Hello, Dr. Gary Ginsberg.
Hi, guys. Boy, it's like tropical weather here in the East, I tell you.
Yeah, it's pretty warm and pretty wet, too. Dr. Mike, you like Dr. G's story about bullets. Want to begin with the bullets story?
Yeah, I can't believe lead poisoning is the reason.
Yeah, well, you know, lead poisoning isn't just for the ducks that dabble in estuaries where the hunters go duck hunting. But, you know, this is a problem that has emerged, increased in concern over the last 10 years for hunters that shoot a deer, say, the bullet explodes inside the deer, and it's hard to avoid eating some lead with your venison. Or this is the ecologists are really concerned about raptors, because what does a hunter do? But he guts the deer, doesn't drag the whole thing home, but he leaves the entrails in the woods, and that's full of buckshot. And so the raptors get lead poisoned when they come down and they eat up the residue. So copper bullets has been the cry for those in public health, worried about the health of hunters, worried about all the donated venison to food bank, and also worried about wildlife and worried about ducks. So copper bullets now are going to be required. The federal government is now phasing out lead bullets. They're going to be requiring hunters to use copper bullets. Now, I'm not a hunter, but my understanding is that when you go hunting, you're not using more than about 5 bullets per outing. Of course, when you're practicing, you may use more. But it's not, even though the copper bullets are much more expensive, it's still not crazy expensive, and they're not using that many. So the arguments against copper and using lead are going away, because the federal government is finally, after many, many years of knowing that lead bullets are a problem, EPA is requiring copper. Their main reason for it is because there's too much lead going into the atmosphere from the smelting and the production of lead bullets.
So the company that makes lead bullets will now make copper bullets?
Well, they'll have to convert over or find something else to do. Yeah, I mean, the demand for copper bullets is going to go up, so there's an opportunity there.
Yeah. Okay, how about the other one Dr. Mike likes is the fish that might eat plastic and what consequences may result from that?
Yeah, well, you know, we usually think about fish as swimming around in open waters and feeding off of smaller fish and maybe feeding off of little macro invertebrates at the benthic, at the bottom of whatever swimming. Well, who would have thunk that fish actually eat a lot of plastic? But our plastic waste, and we've all heard about the Pacific Gyre, this huge swirling plastic mass that's about the size of Texas that's out there in the middle of the Pacific. But our plastic bags and whatever doesn't make it into landfill ends up in waterways, ends up finding its way into the ocean. A lot of that's plastic. And it falls apart, breaks down into small pieces, and fish just, you know, they're filter feeders. They take in just about everything. And there's chemicals. The other thing, I didn't know that chemicals in the water will sorb, will like a sponge onto plastic. So as the fish are taking in inadvertently, it's not like they're trying to eat plastic, but it's just going down the hatch with the rest of what they're taking in. The chemicals that sorb on will get in, and things like polybrominated diphenyl ethers and PCBs, whatever's trace level in the water column, can concentrate on the plastic and then get into the fish and then go up the food chain and become more of a problem for us. So something like mercury wouldn't, but these petroleum-like chemicals, like naturally, like PCBs and PBDEs, flame retardants, will like to go into the plastic debris and into the fish. And this one study that at UC Davis, they actually fed controlled Japanese Madaka 3 different diets, either a controlled diet, a diet with 10% of just a clean polystyrene or polypropylene, I forget which. And then the third was polystyrene that had embedded in it some PBDs and other contaminants. And sure enough, the fish got liver cancer and abnormalities in their liver the more plastic they ate. So it's not good for the fish, not good for us.
Well, what do we do? I mean, what's the solution? Can anything be done?
Well, it shows that as when we make something and we decide to put it into everybody's home or into products that are going to end up getting tossed, that ultimately it's going to come back on our dinner plate. So we have to really be more careful at the design. You know, green chemistry is the buzzword. You know, how can we make the next wave of products, the next wave of magical chemistry, how can we make it so that it doesn't so stable, doesn't go up the food chain, but breaks down? We should have learned our lessons way before now, but hopefully the next wave of miracle chemistry won't be so persistent, won't get into fish.
All right, Gary.
What percent of the plastic is related to water bottles or water and soda containers?
That's a really good question. I have not seen any statistics on it. I think a lot of it is plastic bags, things that readily float. But I'm sure some percentage, some good percentage is the water bottles. I'll look it up for the next time, see if we can figure out what percentage of the waste plastic in the waste stream is water bottles, because those should be recyclable, and we shouldn't be drinking bottled water anyway because it's an environmental nightmare.
Okay, I think we can fit the New York City story in about e-cigarettes, banning those from public places. You like that one?
Yeah, well, this is very controversial because e-cigarettes, there's a health basis claim that it helps people quit cigarette smoking. But places like New York City now are banning them in public places. They're banned on airplanes because it's hard to tell with somebody smoking a real cigarette or an e-cigarette, and it just sort of relaxes the whole atmosphere of no smoking in this restaurant, no smoking in this ballpark. And so if you start allowing people to have e-cigarettes, it's going to be harder to enforce this tobacco ban. And it's not particularly good for you. I mean, it might be a little bit better than cigarette smoking, but still it's got a chock-a-block full of nicotine. It's going to be addictive to you, and there's no data to show that it is actually helping people wean. In fact, it may be going the other way with young people who see it trendy, and they advance onto cigarettes.
Yeah, the bad part about it is, Gary, that a lot of these kids as early as fifth and sixth grade are experimenting with these cigarettes, feeling that they're better than regular cigarettes.
It's becoming trendy, and they're for sale just about everywhere. I haven't looked up to see what the age limit is. I know some states have just increased the age limit to buy regular cigarettes to 21. I don't know, Mike or Joe, do you know what's the age limit to buy an e-cigarette?
There is no age limit for e-cigarettes. That's why they're getting kids that are young hooked on it. And the data seem to indicate that there are more kids hooked on it than people quitting because of it. There's another data that, in fact, when you smoke, when you breathe out, you pollute the room with nicotine, and it's helping addict more adults as well. So
lovely.
So it's not clear what the data is. You know, they claim it's better, but I have an active dialogue with some of the supporters talking about proving that. But in any case, Joe.
Okay, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, check his website out. He's available on his website, whatstoxic.com, and find out about things that may be and may not be. You never know. Some things may surprise you. whatstoxic.com for Dr. Gary Ginsberg, and he's on the show weekly here on You, the Onus Manual Radio Show. We'll take a break, be back with some of the other top medical news stories of the week. What will some of the top 10 supermarket trends be in 2014? And also holiday wellness tips to start the new year coming up in 2014, and some other top stories as well. And, of course, we'll wrap the hour up with a Real Age Tip of the Week from Dr. Mike as well. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.